In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today's Mass is specially being offered for the repose of the soul of our sister Dolores Tapia, who passed away. Her funeral will be this upcoming Monday at 10 a.m. here at St. Rose's Church. Just as a side note, even though I'm not preaching on him today, St. Peter Claver, you know who he is? He's one of the great saints of the Church, a great Spaniard who was taught by the great theologian Alphonsus Rodriguez. And he's a patron saint of those who work in the Black or African missions, missions with such persons, because the great love and zeal he had, not to meet merely their bodily needs, to meet their eternal needs. Learn more about him. He's got an amazing story. Let's focus on one part of the scripture passage today. Oh, I can't find it right now. It talks about how everything... There we go. For the world in its present form, and everything in it is passing away. Have you ever heard anybody say to you that your vocation in life, whatever it is, you're called to be a priest, called to be a religious sister, called to be a married man, a deacon, or just some regular person who's never going to marry, never going to do anything like that, whatever your vocation is, that's good, and they're all equally given by God and of equal dignity, and they're all equally great, just do it, whatever God's called you to. Have you ever heard anybody say that? Yeah, good. I thought so. I'll read you something. Maybe you've never heard this before. Pretty awesome stuff. This is from the 22nd session of the Council of Trent, a great council right there at the time when the whole world was engaged in the Protestant rebellion. And here's what the fathers of the Council of Trent had to say in number 10, canon number 10, if I can find it. I just had it a second ago. There we go. Okay, something happened. It was weird, but now I got it back. It says, if anyone says that marriage, the state of marriage, is to be placed above the state of virginity or of celibacy, or that it is not better and more blessed to remain in virginity or in celibacy than to be united in matrimony, let him be anathema. That means let him be cut off from the people of God. Isn't that interesting? So some of you, I was watching, you were nodding and saying that you had heard that all these different vocations, they're all good and they're all equal. The Council of Trent tells us that they're not. And anybody who says that, they've removed themselves from being a part of the body of Christ by making such a statement knowingly and willingly saying such. It's an interesting thing. Why? Because those who say that thing which I just said would be anathema, as the Council of Trent said, are saying exactly what St. Paul says today. St. Paul speaks to us what? He says, look, I'm not giving you saying that I have the mind of God. But by the way, I do have the mind of God in this. He hasn't told me this explicitly in this because Jesus in his visitations of me hasn't spoken about that. But I'm going to tell you something. If a man doesn't have a wife, why go seek one? If a woman isn't married, why seek a husband? Why? Because the world and everything in it is passing away. It's all passing away. So if you're not bound in this way, I tell you, I believe I have the Spirit of God in this. Go and give yourself totally to him, because he's the only thing that isn't passing away in this entire universe. That's what he's talking about. So those who are married, do well in living out their marriage. Those who aren't married, well, he says, do better, because they're just holding on to that which is eternal, which is God himself. Marriage is only for this life. What do we say when we exchange our vows right here? Do you remember? We say, until death do us part. Okay, at death we part. That's where the vocation of marriage ends, at death. At death. But does the vocation of Sister Anne end at death? No, it continues on into eternity. Does the vocation that the priest has with God, does it end at his death? No, he's going to be a priest somehow in heaven forever, God willing, if he goes to heaven. That's what our Lord is trying to draw us into, this mystical relationship. I can remember something like this. Maybe Sister Anne can remember something from some time in her life, probably not in her early vocation, but maybe even since then, where I was in a classroom with a number of others. We were studying a foreign language. We were all trying to learn Italian. We're all trying to learn Italian. Our professors who were teaching us, who sometimes were much younger than we were, they would go and they would teach us in Italian to make sure that we understood the language, so that when we were studying here in this foreign nation, we could converse and also understand our professors, who were mostly going to be talking to us in Italian. And I remember one day, here we are, all in our Roman collars, all in the sisters who were there in their religious habits, all of us who were there, the brothers in their religious habits, everybody who's there in the class is a religious in some respect, or studying to be a priest. And the professor, this woman, came up to us and said, why would any of you want to become a religious? Why would you want to become a priest? And I just thought that it was strange that she would ask that question. Why would you want this life of consecration to God? My reaction was, why wouldn't everybody want it? Why wouldn't everybody want to live this life totally given to God? Something that is a vocation that doesn't end in this life, but actually continues and deepens even greater in the life which is to come. Living, holding on to that which eye can't see, which ear has not heard, what hasn't even dawned upon man, what God has prepared for those who love him in heaven, can also be experienced in some mystical way, even here and now. That's what our Lord is trying to drive through this passage here in Corinthians. Our Lord isn't just giving that as something as a teaching, as this is a high-minded thing that all of us should in some way aspire to, but rather it's something that can really be lived out even here and now. That's why it's great to see certain ones among our young women and young men desiring for those things which are greater. Not just because, wow, that's a difficult thing to do. No, because you're doing what we all are made for. Ultimately in heaven, that's the only way where any of us are going to live. And so as we continue within our prayers, pray for Sisters Order. They'd give holy, amazing vocations to the Sisters of St. Joseph in Boston to really invigorate and enliven and make things go on with a mission that was begun from their very first realization of that charism. To pray that even within our archdiocese, there'd be good and holy priests that would come and be brought up to be totally given to this other way of living, other way of life, which is united to the life which is to come. So that the whole of the church may be built up through this, yes, greater and higher vocation than there is, that those who are actually called to it will really say yes. Because I tell you something, working with our young people even here in Santa Rosa, they're called. Definitely called. And how are they going to find that call? By you and I praying that they be preserved from any attack that tries to distract them from it. In this Mass, even though it's being offered for the repose of our sister who just passed away, maybe our Lord is calling us to offer our worthy Holy Communion, if we can make one today, for the purpose of an increase of that divine vocation which our Lord has set upon particular souls, especially here in our parish. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.